If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another listener episode of the podcast. Today, I am interviewing Sarah, who is 30 years old. She lives in Canada. She went through a very unfortunate breakup of a 12-year relationship where it turned out that her partner was seeing someone else, and while she saw signs, she continued to ask about it and was continuously lied to. So it's heartbreaking in multiple ways of this story, and the fact of, one, just how the breakup happened and how she was left hanging by her partner for a long period of time. She kept asking her for more clarity on, does she want to be with her? Does she not want to be with her? And wasn't really getting it. So ultimately, she ended the relationship. And the second part is, she was with her partner. They were together from 17 to 30. So obviously very formative years. They had a business together. They had a house together. They had dogs together. So a lot of this was also untangling 12 years of a relationship together, which is really difficult. But there's also a lot of beautiful things that came out of this story. Sarah talks about how she realized that she was capable of so much more than she thought she was. And it took for her to be on her own to be able to see that. We talked a lot about being able to, when push comes to shove, being able to stand up for yourself and set boundaries. And yeah, and Sarah talks about how she's learning how to live her life without this person. So really beautiful episode. Always so grateful to have listeners come on and share their story. I did want to say one thing at the very end. Sarah mentions how helpful, she talks about like a group, and she's talking about Healing Hearts Club, which is the Facebook group. There's also like group chats within that. So we don't really clarify that, but I just want to make sure that you guys know that that is Healing Hearts Club, which the link to join that should be in the show notes. So here's Sarah. Welcome, Sarah, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. It is always an honor to have listeners on here to come on and share their stories. So really grateful to have you on.
Thank you for having me on. I'm really excited to be here.
So can you just start off by telling us just a little bit about you, what makes you you?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Sarah. I am 30 years old. I just turned 30 a few months ago. I am originally from Mexico, but I've been living in Canada for the last 11 years. I have 4 beautiful dogs. I had 5. I recently went through, you know, the loss of one of them. So I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit too. I have a business. I also have a full-time job. And so I have a lot going on right now.
Yeah, you're busy.
This is my first time living alone. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell right now.
Yeah, you got a lot. You got a lot going on in your life. You know what we can talk about later, but which is good in some respects when you're going through a breakup to be busy. But in the beginning, like trying to take care of a business, a job, dogs, like all that is so overwhelming right when a breakup hits. So can you tell us just a little bit about the relationship that that led you, I guess, to break up SC?
Yeah. So I guess it started, so this has been like my only real relationship. We got together when we were 17, 18. So it was like a really long relationship.
Wow.
We were together for 12 years. And again, it was like very formative years too, right? So we were together from like 18 to 30. So that's pretty much our whole adult life so far. And we got together when we were in high school. I already had plans of moving to Canada just for college. Like my idea was just to come, you know, have like just enjoy a few years and then go back home. And then when we got together, she said that she wanted to potentially come with me. So at the end, she ended up coming with me. So we both, you know, went to college, got dogs, got jobs. Like we kind of just started, you know, having a life here. And we got the business, we bought a house. So we were really well established, you know, like we were going kind of through the motions. We were doing everything that we were supposed to do, you know. And then, yeah, a few months ago, we separated. It was a complete shock to me, and I'll, you know, share that story in a little bit. But yeah, that was our relationship in a nutshell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, that, talk about a formative relationship, like 17 to 30, basically. I mean, that's obviously all of your 20s. You don't even like really have a chance to figure out like what it would be like to be single. Or like, I don't know. I just feel like, yeah, that's a very intense relationship to recover from. So a few months ago, walk us through what happened. You said you were shocked, but kind of walk us through like what led to that.
For sure. Yeah. So I'll kind of go back a few years because I feel like this kind of started before. 3 years ago, I lost my cousin unexpectedly. She passed away. She was 23. She was healthy. So it was a complete shock. It was very traumatic. Obviously, I always said she was more like a sister to me. So it was a very, very difficult loss. It happened right before the pandemic too, like a week before everything shut down.
Oh, wow.
Which,
yeah,
you know, that adds like another layer to the trauma and grieving and all of that. So I basically did all my grieving with my partner stuck at home. You know, and I wasn't close to family because, again, I was in Canada. So my partner always showed herself as being really kind, supportive, gentle. Like she was the person that I trusted the most, always. And when I went through that, it was no different. She completely took care of me. She let me grieve. She was always there to support me. So in a way, that time now for me looking back, it was very beautiful. You know, because I had that support and she was the only person that I wanted to have with me anyways while I was going through that. So that happened. Then I had some health issues that were like, it wasn't anything huge, but it definitely affected my day-to-day living. And so that also kind of put a little bit of strain, I guess, in our life, you know, because I was already grieving and then I had health issues. And then we bought the business just to add another layer to the already, you know, stressed time in our lives. And so, so we had that going on. And then again, it all happened in the last 3 years. And then what was it? Like 8 months ago, I think she said that our business at the time was mainly online. So she said, okay, while we're doing, you know, this business online and we're always at home, she said, why don't I just get a side job? Nothing fancy, but just something to, you know, get a little bit more money because we had already invested everything in the business, which, you know, I agreed and it was fine. And she started the side job that was like 3 minutes away from our house. And, you know, at first everything was fine. And then after a few months of her being in that side job, she told me that she had met someone who happened to be our neighbor to make things more interesting. So she's like 4 houses away, basically. So she said, you know, I met this person and she's around our age. And because at the time, the city that we were living in, it's a really, really small city and we really didn't know anyone there. So she kind of approached it as like, you know, she's around our age. She can be our friend. She can help us with the dogs, which I thought, you know, great, because we really had a lot going on. The dogs are all seniors. So it's a lot of work and you know, having someone to help, like she said, you know, we can even go for dinner one night because then we have someone to like help with like the meds and like the whole routine. So anyways, I said that was great. And after about a month or so, I started noticing weird things. And of course, I thought I was crazy. From the beginning, when she told me about this person, I almost felt like she was like infatuated. Like it was hard to explain. And again, I had never really been like a jealous person. I had never, like, it had never been like that in our relationship. So I felt like I was just under a lot of pressure, and that's why I was having these feelings. Like I was just thinking it was me. There were certain things that she said during those first months that really hit me. Like, I don't know, that they just made me question what was really going on. But again, I was like, it's just me. It's just me. Like I have a lot going on and whatever. Another thing that I always did was ask my partner to how she was feeling. Cause I know, like, I didn't want to be a burden, and I wanted her, like, I didn't want her to feel burnt out from everything that was going on. And, you know, she was taking care of the house and everything while I was like dealing with everything else. And the answer was always the same. You know, she was like, are you kidding me? This is what I'm here for. I love you. Like, we're going to get through this. Like, it was always very reassuring. So again, I had never just like, there were no doubts. And yeah, towards like the last couple months, I started noticing more things. Like she was spending more time at work, then notifications on her phone. Again, phones were always the thing. Like we both would use each other's phone all the time. Like it was, you know, 12 years together, like it's just normal. Like you just kind of do it. And she was always the type of person that could not care less about her phone. Like she would always lose it. She, like, it was an ongoing struggle. So like, why are you always losing your phone? And then suddenly she was very interested in, on the phone, you know, she would take it with her to the bathroom. She would always have it in her hand. So again, that was like really weird. I did tell her how I was feeling at the time. I shared that it made me uncomfortable. I even asked her directly a few weeks before, crying, if she wanted something with this person, because I had already seen a lot of red flags. And I was crying and I said, do you want something with her? Is there something going on? And she wiped my tears. She hugged me. She said she would never do anything like that. So then I was like, it's me. Like, I'm going crazy. And yeah, I mean, as you can probably already tell, I was definitely not going crazy. So 1 week, she was completely off. She was very distant. And I remember I asked her one night, like I was cleaning the kitchen, and I asked, you know, I said, you look weird, like you've been really distant, what's going on? And then out of nowhere, she just said, I think we should take a break. And at that moment, I remember just looking at her, and then like my eyes started just getting like a little teary. And I said, wait, what? Because I thought like I wasn't understanding what she meant. And then I said, I need to take a moment. And I went to the bathroom and I was crying. And then she followed me to the bathroom. She started crying and she said, I don't want to break. I don't know why I said that. She's like, I don't want to lose you. She was like sobbing. She said, I know if I ever asked you for a break, you would not wait for me. Like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And so it was like this whole thing. And then for like 3 weeks, we went back and forth. But then one day she said that she could not stop crying, and then she had to break that cycle. And so she said, I'm going to go sleep in a hotel. And that was the first time in 12 years that she was away from the house, or for me, I guess, that way. And then when she came back from the hotel, she was a completely different person. There was no emotion. There was nothing. Like, I was still a mess, obviously, but she was just done. And again, she did say that she did want a break. She moved to the guest room. She basically was at work all day and I wasn't supposed to ask. And, you know, at this time, like now looking back, I have a lot of things that I kind of regret. And again, I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit. But in the moment, I was in complete shock. And so I did not understand what was going on. I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping. And so nothing made sense. And I was kind of trying to give her space, thinking that that would make her, you know, snap out of it. And so anyways, long story short, we had a trip that we had planned months before. And so the trip came, we decided that we would still go on the trip. It was like a bucket list trip for me. It was going to be with my dogs. We were going to go RVing and for a couple of weeks. And so everything was planned and paid for. And when the day came, she just refused to go, even though we had already agreed, even the night before, like we already had all the supplies, we had everything. And she just refused. And she just kept saying, I need time and space. Like that's all she would say. And every time I would ask her what was going on, every time I tried to get answers, the answer was always the same. I don't know. I don't know. And by that time, you know, we had already had a few weeks of going back and forth. And my birthday was coming up in a couple of weeks. And so I said, you know what, screw this. And I ended up flying back home to be with my parents. And I said, I'm going to give you time. Again, by this moment, I still did not know about the other person.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask if you like had connected those two things at that point.
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I was thinking I was crazy. And like, honestly, when I left, I didn't even give that a second thought. Like, I genuinely did not know what was going on because it was out of nowhere that she said that, you know, in my eyes.
Yeah.
But when I left, I did say, you know what, when I come back, like, we're not going to be doing this. Like, either you're all in and we go to therapy and like we work on things, or if you don't want to be with me, then like you're gone. Like, that's it. And I have to know that before I come back.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was tough. I remember I told my mom, you know, we hugged when I left, my partner and I. And I remember like that hug for me felt very final. Like I felt like she obviously knew, but she just did not want to tell me.
Yeah.
And I still left. And while I was gone, I was still going through the shock and I kept texting her and asking, you know, have you made a decision? Have you made a decision? And she was like, nope, not yet. I have a lot to think about. And I just kept waiting. And I remember one day, the last time she said, I'm going through a lot. And she said, I have a lot to think about. Can you give me until the weekend? And I said, sure, I'll give you until the weekend. Again, looking back, I can't believe, I guess it's normal, right? Like you don't understand what's going on. And like us.
Yeah. And honestly, just from what I've heard so far, you handled it extremely well with like, you know, I think the problem with like space and breaks is when you just give people like kind of an open-ended permission slip to like figure it out. And you didn't do that. You said, and that's like, I've mentioned that when people ask, what do I think about breaks? And I'm like, as long as it's not open-ended, there's a time frame, there's very like set objective boundaries. And like, by the end, this is what I need. Otherwise, it's done. So I think you handled it well. But I know looking back, you're like, when you have all the answers, which you didn't have at the time. So you can't even say like, oh, if only I knew this, because you didn't. So.
Right. Yeah. And so that was the thing. And, you know, after being away for like about a week and a half, my birthday happened. She didn't text me until like really late in the day. And her text was very general. Like it was something along the lines of, happy birthday, I hope they're spoiling you, and no matter what happens, you're always going to be special to me, or something like that.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I was like, no.
You're like, this is not very reassuring.
Yeah. And so then the next day, I finally decided, like by this point, it had already been almost a month since, you know, she asked for a break. And so again, I was not okay at all. And I decided to just send her a voice note. I wanted her to hear my voice. And I said, I had been trying to talk to her, you know, even like video or whatever. Because again, I was far away and she would always refuse to talk to me. And so then I ended up sending the voice note and I said, I've been waiting for almost a month and you still have no answers. I still don't know what's going on. I don't know where this came from. But I said, the last gift that I can give you is not to ask for any answers or closure. You know, if after a month, you don't know if you still want to be with me after building a life for 12 years, then the answer is no. And I know that. And I said like, that's it, we're done. And I told her the day that I was coming back, I said, you have to be out of the house by that day. I think she listened to it right away, but she did not respond. It took her like 3-4 days to get back to me. But then one night, 4 days or so before I came back, I was at dinner with my parents and I opened Spotify and I don't even know why I did that. But I saw, or I actually, when I arrived, like when I was in Mexico that first week, I had seen that she already had a new playlist because we shared the account.
Yeah.
And so she had a new playlist, but I didn't think much of it. And again, keep in mind that was like a week after I left. So it was like pretty, anyways. So I saw the playlist, but then that day when I was at dinner with my parents, I opened it again and I saw there were two collaborators, and it was her and this girl. And it was all love songs. And even some songs that she knew I liked, which was really weird and messed up in a way. And the playlist was called 222. And now I did not know what that was. I Googled, and apparently it's an astrology thing, similar to 1111, where you see that number and it's a sign from the universe that you met your soulmate and that the universe brought you together and blah, blah, blah. So that moment was confirmation that I was not crazy and that things were definitely happening. And yeah, that's what happened. I wanted to tell her in that moment that I knew, but my mom told me to wait until I was back because we did not know. Like, I was so far away, we did not know what was going to happen. And anyways, I ended up coming back and I told her. And again, she was a complete stranger. There was no emotion behind her eyes. There was no sorry. There was no regret. There was no remorse, nothing. Like, she was just gone. And yeah, I'm sure we'll kind of talk a little bit more about like the after, because there were a few.
Yeah. I have questions for after.
But yeah, that was basically the story.
Holy moly. Well, two things come to mind on this. I mean, the first one obviously being that's so horrible to go through. And like, I know people will say, okay, yeah, like, yes, think people go through things in relationships. And there are times that, like, just like you, there was a, you know, a cycle where when you were grieving and going through health issues, like, she was there and then she started going through something. And like, but just nothing that she did was the right way to do anything of that sort. Like, even you had said when she was kind of more taking care of you, you would always ask, like, how are you doing? How's it going? But like, when she was going through it, it's like she completely shut you out. And here's the thing, like, it's okay to have feelings change. It's okay to like recognize you don't want to be with someone. Like, those things, they obviously hurt the other person, but like, they are okay. But this is not okay to like not be honest, to not have the, I would argue, respect for you, to not just tell you what was going on, to make it so you had to be the one that ended it is awful. And I know that that like people will call it like grenading the relationship, where they just like become such a bad partner that they basically make the other person break up with them. So it's just consistently putting you in an unfair position to like, what would have happened if you like, was she just going to keep pushing this time frame? Like, what? I don't know. So
I think and again, I can't speak for her, but this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
And again, that's something that I'll get to hopefully in a little bit. But I was really like, I depended on her emotionally big time. And so I always saw myself as like the weak person, the one that didn't know how to take care of the house, the emotional one. And I always saw her as like this strong, confident person. And if I was with her, I always felt like things would be okay. And I'm starting to realize now how unhealthy that really was. Like, I always thought, okay, we balance each other out and it's great because, you know, I'm like a little explosive and I have a lot of emotions, but she's really calm. And so I always saw it as a positive. But now with everything that has happened, I definitely, it was kind of like an unhealthy thing for me because I did not think I would be capable of being on my own. And I think because she did say it at the end, you know, when she still did not know that I already knew. So like a few days before I came back, she was still saying that she wanted to stay in the house. And she said, I'm going to stay so I can help with the dogs and I can help with the business. And she's like, I'm like, basically we were going to be roommates. And again, she did not know that I had already found out. So in her mind, I think what she wanted was to not have to tell me what she was really doing, but still get all the perks of being with me, you know?
Totally.
And when I did tell her that I knew, that's when she completely flipped and she became really, I don't want to say hostile, but she did, like, I have never seen that side of her, you know? She said, I'm not going to help you anymore because it does not serve me. I'm not going to get anything from it. She said some really hurtful things towards the end. And I said, whoa, who's this person? Like, she was always my safe space, you know? And then suddenly she was blaming me for doing this and seeing how I was a shell of who I used to be and how my health issues, you know, affected a lot of her, which is true, they did. But again, this is something that I always asked her and talked to her about. And she always said, like, no, this is actually not a problem. Like, I care about you. I want you to be okay. And then suddenly, you know, she was saying, no, it actually was a big problem. And
yeah, because she's trying to make herself feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was all my fault. She said that so here's the thing. She knew I wanted to have a family. And this is something that I've talked to her forever. And we actually had started the process of getting licensed to be foster parents. She said that she never saw herself having kids with me because we weren't married, which, again, that was news to me because we had done a lot of things, even had a fertility appointment already booked for the month after we separated, that we had booked like months in advance. We were getting licensed. We even had names picked out for future children. So for her to say that, she knew that was like probably the most hurtful thing that she could say to me because she knew how much I wanted it. And so it was really tough, you know, to hear that from, again, the person that you really trusted the most. And she did say that she had said goodbye to our relationship a few years ago. And, you know, in the last 3 years, we bought a house, we bought a business.
Yeah.
We signed a 5-year lease for our business. We even bought a bigger SUV because we were thinking about children. We planned trips. So like, you don't do those things with someone that you don't see yourself with. So, and she never even hinted that she was not okay. Like the complete opposite, actually. So in the end, for her to say all these things, it was very surreal. And it's definitely something that I'm still processing. Like, I'm not on the other side by any means. And I don't think I will for a long time. But yeah, it's been really tough to process. Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It is so important to share your thoughts and feelings while going through a breakup, especially if it's something you're feeling any guilt or shame around. I know whenever I'm struggling with a certain thought or situation and I keep it to myself, it gets heavier and heavier and feels harder and harder to manage. I truly believe we are as sick as our secrets. Therapy has always been a safe space for me to have a judgment-free zone to get things off my chest. Whether it's something from my past, a current struggle, or something I'm anxious about in the future, I always feel lighter when I'm able to share something that feels scary. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. The last time I went through a breakup, I know my mom was someone I was really able to lean on and get support from. She has always been a rock for me through heartbreak and everything in between. And with Mother's Day right around the corner, I wanted to share an idea of something super special that you can gift to your mom. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Every week, they will email your mom a question, and she can either type out an answer or record one. And at the end, MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, and they can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. I gifted my mom this, and it means so much to me that I can not only learn so many of her stories, but also preserve them for my kids and future generations. My mom has already talked about how fun it's been for her to reflect on her past and think about things that she hasn't in so long. It even prompted her to dig up some old photos from when she was in the newspaper for being the only female mail carrier in Detroit in the 60s. So cool. check out mylifeinabook.com and use code HEARTBREAK at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code HEARTBREAK for 10% off today.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's like textbook example of how not to deal with a situation like this. Because yeah, it would be one thing if she was like, I'm so sorry, but I met this person and I'm sorry I lied and like all that stuff. But to then try to make you feel bad about it. There are so many unnecessary things people say during breakups that like, I don't know if it's because they need to make themselves feel better, whatever reason it is, but it's like, I always try to remind people when they're ending a relationship, like what you're saying when you're ending it, the other person's going to think about for a really long time. Like it, those words, they're going to be in their brains for a really long time. Like you have to be very careful. Yeah. And I think, again, it's okay to want to end a relationship. It's okay to like do that. Obviously, it's sad, but when you are ending a relationship, I believe you still have a responsibility to the other person to be kind and respectful. And it's crazy, like for you to know her for 12 years and never really see that side of her. I do think it's really cool, though, that you ultimately kind of proved her and yourself wrong, because, you know, you probably were not the person that would directly ask these questions or set those boundaries. And so she was probably counting on the fact that you wouldn't, and you proved her wrong. And I think that's very cool. And I hope you can recognize that, like a very cool thing that you did, and honestly set your healing trajectory in a much different direction than if it had been that you kind of just let things happen to you.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things I'm grateful for right now, having all the information, because it was really hard for me to get to that point of setting that boundary. I really did not think I would be capable of doing that. And, you know, definitely ending relationships, like it's fine. It's not a jail. Like she's not stuck with me for the rest of her life just because she has to be. But I do think, and again, from my little experience, especially right now, like with a long-term relationship with you, when you know the person so well, or at least you're supposed to know the person really well, I feel like it should never come as a complete shock to the other party. You know, like if there are issues that you've been feeling, and I remember with her, she brought things up from like 9-10 years ago. And I was like, how do you even remember that? Like, I thought those things were gone. And like, they weren't even like that big, but in her mind, you know, she had been keeping all of those things completely logged for like almost 12 years. And so now that she was leaving, everything came out. And I think that was really, again, it's not okay, especially because we had a life, we had plans. Like it wasn't something that you could just completely drop and walk away and just kind of blindside the other person. These were things that she should have definitely talked about and shared with me before, so that we could work on those things or try to work on those things. And, you know, if at the end you're like, listen, I've been trying to tell you all these things, and you know, then you have that conversation about actually ending the relationship, not just taking the easy way out, I guess.
Yeah. And I think another thing that, again, something that I think she did just completely backwards. I do think if you start considering ending a relationship, yes, at that point, like, you should have already, like, if you have an issue with the other person, like, yes, that needs to be discussed with the person as it arises. But if you're at the point where you're like debating breaking up with the person, I personally don't think you should include your partner in that discussion or not even in the discussion, but in the back and forth, because you're literally just like ragdoll dragging your partner like in and out of anxiety and happiness and fear. And like, it's just, it's not fair to the other person. Right. Like, there's a responsibility that you have to discuss it with some friends and like, you know, do some deep dive kind of stuff on it. But to leave someone hanging in that kind of limbo for a long time, again, I think is really disrespectful and like not honoring your partner in that situation.
Yeah, no, I agree for sure. And I think it was more just, again, like in my situation, all the things that she talked about at the end when she was gone were things that I was hearing literally for the first time as being something that had an impact on her. And so, again, it's, I think, definitely communication. Like I always said, like, oh, she never fights, she never argues. Mm-hmm. Like, again, she balances me out because I am really emotional. And like, if there's something that I'm not okay with, like, I will say it in the moment. And I would always be like, oh, she balances me out. Turns out she was just hiding everything, you know, like she was not hiding it, but she was just not expressing those feelings. And she was just bottling everything up. And then when it came out, it wasn't the right way. So,
yeah. And honestly, some of the things may not have been as big of a deal as they, like, clearly she did not say goodbye to the relationship 3 years ago. Like, you don't say that and then do all the things that you listed. To me, it sounds like there was a little bit of grasping at straws to try to justify her decision that she knew was not the right decision and was not willing to, just not willing to own up to herself, you know, like, hey, if you're going to do that, tell the other person, like, hey, this is what's happening, you know, and move on from that point instead of, again, like building this whole case, this kind of like delusional case that it's your partner's fault in that whole thing. So I do want to make sure I talk about the untangling of your life, because this is a very interconnected life. And I know people will want to hear this because it's not uncommon to go through this stuff. So can you, like, are you still having to, do you guys still own a business together? Like, what does that all look like?
So no. So after she left, you know, this happened end of July. And when she left, we had a lot of back and forth, mainly because of me. I was still in that, like I was in it and I was trying to get answers. And I, you know, knowing that weeks before she had wiped my tears and said, this is never happening and all of that. And then suddenly knowing that it actually was, I kept trying to get answers. And I was sending these like really long texts. And I was like, you know, calling her every name, like just trying to get a reaction, because she was a complete robot at the end. Like that, she was not the person I lived with for 12 years. So there was a lot of back and forth. Like I said, even like Spotify, Amazon, like all the accounts had been like one account basically for both of us for 12 years, you know? And it's like those little things that you don't really think about. Utilities for the house. And like, there was just so much. And I remember I started going through things to try to, again, to separate everything. I never saw this as a bad thing. You know, I was the kind of the person that always put the majority of the money in what we were doing. Like I'm really lucky that my parents did help us with the house too. And same with the business. So everything was under my name. And it's tough because, again, we never saw that as a problem. I would even tell her, and we were actually thinking about buying another house the following year, and that house would be under her name now. And so, like, again, we always had those conversations, and I never saw that as a problem. And again, I was like, okay, you know, if I'm like the quote unquote breadwinner, but she's helping with the house and she's doing all the other stuff. And again, we balance each other out. And then when she left, again, I was just always trying to get that information. I remember I had to get my cell phone out of her plan, and it was a struggle because she would not give permission. Like, she had to call the company and she would not do that. So it was really difficult, you know, because I was still, again, going through it emotionally. And then all I wanted was to like get this done, and she would always kind of block it just so that it wasn't as easy as it could have been. As I started calling these companies too, I realized, so one of her jobs was like to pay utilities and everything. And I started to realize that a lot of things hadn't been paid for a while. So that was also another shock, because I was like, wait, like now I had all these bills, and it was a really crazy time. The last thing you know, she did say that she wanted to keep seeing the dogs. She said she would come every day. And I said, it's not going to happen every day because I can't be seeing you every day. I said, like, we're going to put some boundaries. Like, you can start with like once a week and then we'll kind of see what happens. She came twice. And the second time that she came, I told her, because her car was under both of our names. So I said, she had to remove my name. And she refused. And she said, I'm not going to do that. And we went back and forth for a really long time. And I said, you're not going to see the dogs until that is done. Because that was like the last
good for you
that we had to do. And she just hasn't seen the dogs since. The car is still under my name. And
she used to make this so difficult.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not that I understand. Like, she doesn't have good credit. So that's why I was put on.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And of course, like, you know, it was really hard because I feel like she was still using me for the things that she needed, but she did not want anything to do with me. But like, you know, I need this, so I'm going to keep it. And
yeah,
the reason, like, the only thing I could do was to take the car from her and put it under my name. But, and I did tell her I was going to do that. But I mean, she knows me really well and she knows I would never do that. So I didn't do it. So yeah, so we, after, you know, I think July to August, I was like constantly texting and trying to get all of these sorted out. And at the end, she said, basically, like, you can keep texting, like, I'll read it, but I'm not going to engage anymore because this is really stressful for me. And said, I don't want to help with the business anymore because I'm not going to get anything out of it, which honestly, there wasn't anything really to get from the business because it's early and like there's no profit at all. But somehow she thought, you know, I was going to become a millionaire out of this. So she said, I'm not going to help anymore. House, same thing. She just left everything. And yeah, she just took her car. And since August, so it's been 4 or 5 months that we haven't spoken. And but again, it's been tough because I have still, like, I'm still seeing her. Well, not now, but before. So this person that she is with now, they had only known each other for like probably 3 months or so, you know, at that point. And this person already, like, she had a trip planned. She travels apparently all over the world. And so she had already planned a trip before meeting my ex, and she was going to be gone for 6 months. So technically right now they have been long distance, like, since we separated. But even though this girl wasn't around, which I'm thankful for because I didn't have to see her, my ex was still coming to visit the parents, who are the ones that, like, own the house almost next to mine.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the four houses down situation.
Yeah, so then I would always see the car parked there, you know, the car that's under my name still, parked there. I would see her go in and out. She looked fine, you know, she's always looked fine. She's smiling and happy and like nothing's happening. Like, you know, she just didn't leave a full, complete life.
Four houses down, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it's been really tough.
What a tornado and a gut punch and everything all rolled into one. So let's talk about you. And so what's been the healing process kind of curve looked like? I mean, you'd already touched on some of it earlier, but like, what are some growth opportunities that have come out of this? Would love to hear kind of how the healing has been going.
Yeah, so it's definitely been a journey. It's been really difficult. And I think for the first few months, I definitely did a lot of things that I'm not proud of.
You know, and that's okay.
I don't regret them at all because they were a part of my journey now. And I know I had to do that. Like, in the moment, they just felt right. Even though I don't really like that I did them, I definitely don't regret them at all. So after she left, I remember just, you know, standing in my house and just thinking, what now? Like, I don't know how to do anything in the house. Like, I had completely left that up to her. And I felt it was hard, you know, because I was a 30-year-old woman standing in my house not knowing what to do. And now I have to take care of everything. And so I was, again, I'm really, really thankful that my parents came to help me. They helped me put everything in order. I had a cousin who came all the way from Spain, and she also helped, you know, kind of declutter the house and get rid of a lot of things that she left. And it was a very emotional 2 months, I would say, you know, because they really all rallied and they all did everything while I just cried. And
that's great, though. That's so great that your community came and allowed you, because you got to do the crying, too.
Yeah.
And so the fact that people came to rally around is great.
Yeah. So that was amazing. And I'm so thankful for that. And then after that, you know, or I guess at the same time, I started kind of realizing, like, I was doing things without actually thinking about it. And then one day I was like, wait, I am paying the bills. You know, I'm the one that's responsible for feeding the dogs, for feeding myself, for taking care of the business, the house. Like, I was already doing it and I didn't even think about it. So when I looked at it, I was like, wait, I am doing it. Like, this is me. Like, I am capable. And, you know, I made a lot of mistakes. Like, I think it's also the little things that you don't think about, you know, like using the lawnmower or like oil changes, like all of that were things that she used to do. And suddenly, like one day I had to like change my tires because we're in Canada, so I have to have winter tires on. And I was like, I don't even know who we talked to for that. And so, but hey, I figured it out. And I've been doing the things. And I think it's been really hard to have, I don't know, like, I want to be accountable for the things that I did in my relationship, because I'm not saying I was perfect and everything was right. Like, I do know there were a lot of things that I could have done better. But I also want to have grace at the same time, just kind of, you know, I never did anything to hurt her intentionally. I never did anything. Like, I always thought that everything I was doing was for both of us. And so while I was doing all the things, I realized that it's hard. But when you're put in that space, you just have to do it. And so I had no choice. And so, but now looking back, like, I'm really proud of myself. I ended up deciding to move. I did not want to move for the longest time because I did feel like I was being run out of town. Like, I felt like I was hiding and as if I had done something wrong and I was like running away. But I was talking to my therapist and she said, you are not running away. You are protecting your peace. Totally. And that to me was like, yeah, that's true. And so I ended up making the move and that also helped. And I think that's been the thing that has really allowed me to move on to the next chapter of healing, because then I'm not constantly triggered by my surroundings. You know, I would always see my ex drive by. I would always see the neighbors, like the neighbors would completely avoid me. Like, it was all these things. And now that I'm not in that space and I am allowed to just do me and start figuring out who I am, because I don't know who I am. I don't know what I like. I haven't dated. I don't know who I am outside of the relationship. So it's something that I have to explore. And I can now move on to that.
That's exciting, though. I mean, I know it's scary, but it's also exciting. And I loved that your therapist said that, because I think there's a way to do it where it is kind of this like defensive move where it's like, but there's also a way to do it that's like a proactive way to do it, where you're getting ahead of something to give yourself the opportunity to feel peace. And if you don't have to be confronted by seeing your ex every so often, like, choose that decision. It's like, you're not going to get a trophy because you like remain in a situation that's painful when you have the opportunity to get out of that. So I think that's great that you were able to do that and give yourself like that fresh start. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge. And I love your attitude about it. And I think you did even just hearing you tell your story, you did a great job of acknowledging your stuff, but also giving yourself a lot of grace within it. And there, it's just so often that gets imbalanced. And so many people I've worked with in coaching calls, I tell them like, hey, you got to get mad at your ex. Like, your ex really wronged you, you know, and like, you have to allow yourself to feel anger towards them. Otherwise, you're still going to have anger, but if you're not allowing yourself to direct it towards your ex at all, it's just going to lay within you. So I think you do a great job of giving yourself grace, being mad at her, but also giving her a little bit of grace within the situation. So I think it's a heartbreaking, tragic, but ultimately like beautiful story and how you handled that. And when push comes to shove, you know how to take care of yourself and you know how to stand up for yourself. And that's really powerful.
Yeah. And honestly, like I'm still shocked that I'm like doing it because I can't even like explain how. I was reading something from this author, Najwa Sabian, I think. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Yeah. And so she had said that when you build a home in someone else's hands, you give them the power of making you homeless. Mm. And when I read that, that was something that I was like, yeah, like my whole life was in her hands. Like I even thought that she knew me better than I knew myself. Like I was in complete... Again, and I didn't notice it in the moment, but now here I'm like, whoa, I really let myself completely go in that sense. You know, I never did anything for myself. And now in therapy, because therapy is awesome, I've been able to see that actually I wasn't as weak or anything as I thought. You know, all the things and all the big decisions came from me, but it was like that false sense of security. Thinking that because she was next to me, I was able to do those things, when in reality, I'm just able to do those things, period.
Yeah.
You know? And now that she's not here, I'm like, wait, I'm still doing the same thing, but that's because it's me, not because I had this person next to me. So it's been really, it's been really, really, I don't know, empowering, I guess, to see that.
Totally empowering. And the beautiful thing too is like when you do decide to start dating and you do embark on a new relationship, like you have all that knowledge of how just how powerful you are, and you can, I think it's, you know, the whole idea of like not being codependent is great. Like we don't, you know, but we also, relationships do require like interdependence. So it's, you can, you know, but you can pick and choose what you give over to them as something to take care of you. It's not like, oh my gosh, I'm helpless. I like need someone to take care of me. It's, oh, I know how to take care of myself, but like, I love when you take care of this. And I love like, I love taking care of this. So it's more of a choice that you get to make. And that's, again, very powerful.
Yeah. And I think too, like, again, I'm not on the other side.
And that's okay. Yeah. I mean, it's 12 years, 12 years.
Yeah. And I think too, like a big part of it too has been like the, you know, ruminating and thinking about, like you were saying, you know, the things that people say at the end of the breakup, like they do stay with you for a really long time. And I think these things that she said are going to stay with me forever. And also like thinking about her with this person, like I do remember feeling almost jealous of people who, and again, like, I know how that sounds, but I started talking to other people who were with like their partners had affairs or cheated or whatever. And every single person would tell me how sorry, you know, the partner was and how it didn't mean anything and how, and so that to me, I remember feeling like, why did she not do that? Like, I could not find one person that said like, oh no, they just dropped everything and left. And so that stayed with me for a while. It's with me, honestly, like I'm still processing that because it's been really hard, but again, I have those tools where I can kind of almost detach myself from my thoughts and just know that they are just that, like they're thoughts. And I have a list of tangible things that I have been able to do on my own. And I do know that even though, you know, I made mistakes and whatever, I am a good person. I deserve to have good things. And I do deserve to have someone next to me who will communicate and who will value that relationship and the life that we've built together enough to want to either work on it or at least be honest and respect myself, you know? And so, yeah, it's been tough, but I've spoken to a lot of people. I've met some amazing people actually from the podcast, like from the group. I feel like they've been a huge, huge, I don't know. It's one of the few things that have come from this that have really made me feel understood and kind of a part of a community, you know, and
That makes me happy.
Yeah, so that's been really positive. And I think just having, you know, you don't have to go through it alone. I am the type of person that will completely close myself off while I'm going through hard times. And I have not done that this time. And I've noticed that there's a lot of people that care. And yeah, you just have to be open and ask, you know, when you're struggling, like, I need help. And there will be people there. So yeah.
I love that. Well, I'm so grateful you came on and shared your story. And I know, I mean, I hope continue to give yourself a lot of grace with this. Cause again, 12 years is a really long time. And the breakup, you know, was, like we said, like 4 or 5 months ago at this point. So yeah. I hope you continue to give yourself a lot of grace and continue to like prove yourself wrong in some ways. And I think continue to own the power that it's so clear that you have. So thank you again for coming on and sharing.
No, thank you for having me. And I'm excited for what the future holds now.
Me too. I'm excited for your future too.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.